Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Councilmember District A, Joe Geruso, the New Orleans City Council. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel.
So, Joe, you participated yesterday in the Criminal Justice Committee meeting. You guys were able to talk to Chief Kirkpatrick as well as Sheriff Susan Hudson about this most recent jailbreak, kind of the breakdown in the notification process, and a lot of discussion about budgeting. Your thoughts about the committee meeting yesterday?
Well, two walkaways from our perspective. I think, number one, I was a little surprised the sheriff came in and apologized at the start of the meeting and accepted responsibility for what happened. And I think when people tend to do that, that tends to take a lot of the wind out of people's sails, although it did get heated at a couple of other points. I think there are a couple things. One, you've mentioned the communication issue. I think we're still very much looking at the timeline here, but as we learned yesterday, first meal in the jail is around 5:15 or 5:30. Allegedly, there's no headcount at that point. There is headcount beginning around, I think, 6:30. That's supposed to take an hour. That apparently took longer here, I guess, because they were looking to see who was missing. And then there's a time lag between 8:30 and I think closer to 10:30 when NOPD affirmatively knew what happened. So, again, I'm not saying this to beat up on the sheriff right now at this point. I think the idea is for going forward, the earlier things are communicated, and I know, Noel, we've talked many times about dispatching police in a matter of seconds or just a couple of minutes is so much more important than 10-minute lead time. Same thing obviously true with escapees. And then the last point is maybe in the weeds for others, but I think for the council it's been really important, which is the sheriff takes a position that I'm the elected official and I control what happens with the money, and it's your obligation, city, to fund it to us. And I think the city, and that's both the mayor and the council in this one, take the position that may be what the law says by the letter, but if you want the money, we should have some insight into what's going on and how much is needed. And so the sheriff reported a $13 million need yesterday. I know the federal judges are looking at that right now. I think everybody's trying to decide what really critically needs to happen in a jail. If there are things that immediately need to be fixed, like locks or alarms or some video, and then what are the other things that probably need to happen too, Newell, both in the way of the sheriff looking at bonding capacity, which they didn't have an answer for yesterday, and then also looking at the jail population. If you have Department of Correction prisoners, DOC prisoners, and those shouldn't be in jail, then we need to get them into prison. If there are people with more minor violations, you need to get them out. And you've run a jail, so you know. It's not to our advantage to unnecessarily hold people who don't need to be there. And we do have a lock of 1250, and we've been at 1450. And, you know, just a couple of years ago, we were closer to about 990. So it can be done. We just have to proactively manage. And that means all the other people, as the governor said, have to push through and make sure the cases are moving the way that they should. So I know that's a lot, but it's pretty much everybody needs to be moving forward, doing their jobs, making sure things are funded, making sure there's requisite communication as well.
Joe, you made an observation yesterday, and I thought you were spot on. I mean, yeah, yesterday, and you were spot on saying that this is a friction point that has existed for a long time. I actually worked for the Orleans Parish Criminal Sheriff's Office back in 1977 through 1980. It was an issue then, and it's the same issue today. This single reporting entity of an independently elected official versus whether or not you are going to be treated as an agency under the construct of the city of New Orleans. Yesterday, there seemed to be testimony from both Sheriff Hudson as well as the CFO that they'd like to be both. But that's not really a reality. Although it looks like they might have left a crack in the door to accomplish what you just outlined as being one of the friction points that are difficult for the city administration.
Yeah, I think they've made that point. And look, Newell, I mean, I mentioned it yesterday, and my mom has told me about it, and I sort of vaguely remember my grandfather and the previous sheriff used to argue with each other because they would come with a sheet of paper and say, these are the needs. And, of course, when you're the appropriating body, you say, thank you, but we need more detail. I think where the council and I think even the administration would get more comfortable is if the sheriff and other officials who were giving a fair amount of money to got on the city's accounting system so we can actually see what's going on. And I'll just give you one example. The administration takes the position that the sheriff has $14 million in unrestricted fund balance because that's what their audit shows. The sheriff says that's not true because I have other obligations and there's really just a fraction of that left. Well, that shouldn't be an issue that partners are fighting about. That should be something that's knowable to each side. And I kind of think, Newell, I don't know what you think about it, but my view is having comfort in money and spending also leads to better communications and people not being entrenched in their positions of you don't need this, you do need this. When you get to have a look underneath the hood, then it's a lot easier for people to have a view into what is necessary, what is a luxury, and what is a maybe longer term want.
Yeah, I mean, look, I made in my monologue today, I said I really believe that there are two parallel paths that need to be taken. One is an operational audit, which very much would influence the financials, right? It's easy to say I need X, Y, and Z on the financial side, and then you ask the question for what and what's the return on our investment and where is this being spent and how is it going to be spent? And then, you know, you hear noise. So there's an appropriate way to staff the facility based upon the construct of the facility. And there are experts in that field that can give you the exact number of people that you need, taking into account leave, sick leave, you know, holidays and all of that. And you can figure out a number and you can come to an agreement on what that is ultimately going to be. You know, the city, for the longest time, as you well know, y'all funded a per diem. It was real easy from a budgeting perspective. You know, we agree that we're going to fund 1,200 inmates. We're going to give you so much money per day. You go figure out how you're going to spend it, but don't come back and ask us for any more money. And then you carved out medical because it used to be medical was included in that per diem number. So y'all are coming off multiple iterations of financing this facility, and I don't know that y'all have ever come to rest in a place that's or a landscape that's very comfortable to either your side or the other side. And maybe this is the moment in time where that can ultimately happen, right? But I do believe that nothing will be fruitful without an operational audit.
I think that's all correct. And look, I guess two things. One is, and I've said this to the media before, I've said it to you, when there were complaints about was the budgeting appropriate, were things working, there has been something operational because the federal monitors have been in this building on a regular basis. And so as I told the press as they were circling around all of this, if the federal monitors were raising real, true alarms, the judges would not hesitate to tell the city and the council, this is what you have to appropriate. I mean, it's happened with salaries. It's happened with the medical facility. So there's no doubt about that. You're right. I guess what I kind of don't like about this, just as a philosophy, is I don't love the idea that this has to occur as a result of something tragic and bad happening in order to have this conversation. But sometimes you need an inflection point to have it. And I know the city reached out yesterday to the sheriff to begin these discussions about getting in the system. And look, as I was trying to say in my questions yesterday about whether or not the sheriff can bond out and have money that's independent of the city, getting fewer prisoners into the jail. The whole idea here is trying to create economies of scales that make things easier for the sheriff, whoever that may be, to do their job, and so that there's a good line of sight, and we're not micromanaging the sheriff on the day-to-day, but at the same time, when the council, the city's appropriating close to $65 million, $70 million, it's also hard to say, here's a blank check, and we're not going to worry about it anymore. It's in good hands. So those two things are in conflict, and now trying to reconcile them, I think, is really important.
Joe, I think one of the issues, and you mentioned it, you know, y'all had appropriate or set a number of 1,200 of what y'all are willing to appropriate dollars for. We're at 14 something. This was an issue, obviously, in the election of Susan Hudson when she first got elected. And I bring it up all the time. She said that we should be able to manage the criminal population of the city of New Orleans with 500 beds. Well, there weren't many people that bought into that. I didn't buy into it because I knew the rate of arrest of the NOPD, and I knew the severity of the culture of these arrested individuals. That they, you know, these were serious felons, and you wanted to selectively incapacitate them. You didn't want them rolling in and rolling out. And that there was no way that it was going to be 500. And here we are at 14 something. And I've looked at the complexion of the prisoner base there from serious felony violations. These are bad people, really bad people. I mean, we're not, you don't have misdemeanors, you know, consuming portions of this jail. You have probation violators, you have a bunch of other things that you have to deal with, but I'm not sure that we are. I'm asking you, are you confident that y'all have reached a point where you know what the number should be based on the crime in this city?
Yeah, it's something we're looking at right now. So the DOC prisoners, and again, this is Department of Correction prisoners, are the numbers I most closely monitor. And I think as of yesterday, there were maybe around 75 or 80 in the jail. And again, those are people who should not be there. And then I was told as of yesterday, and you just raised it, that of probation folks on violation, there were about 100 of those. So assuming those numbers are right, and again, depending on the severity of the probation violation, what the crime is, I mean, that's 175 people almost off the top who maybe can be removed from the jail for a variety of different reasons. But I've taken the same approach you have, Newell, which is if you're in jail for, you know, a murder, rape, armed robbery, serious felony charges, then we're just not going to release you. That can't be what needs to happen. And then you just go down the list from there and see where you are. And very much with the people who are DOC and other smaller things, we whittle it down. So I'm at a point of, I don't know that we'll get back to pick a number, 750 or 800, but I do think through being vigilant and trying to make sure the cases are working through the court, you can get a lot closer to the 1250 number too.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's just a question of how much risk you want to assume, quite frankly. You know, I mean, it's something that we had to manage at the JPSO for a long, long time because we've been in the same boat. We've been in overcrowded conditions like forever. You know, when you're making 60, 70, 80, 90 felony arrests a day, it doesn't take long to fill the jail up. And I don't know what I would assume that NOPD is probably arresting numbers somewhere close to that.
Yeah, look, I think that's always the heartburn. I mean, it's almost like any situation where at the end, the decisions are pretty easy. Somebody who clearly belongs in jail on a murder charge, somebody who's picked up for shoplifting only at a very minor level doesn't. And then as you get closer to the middle, that's where the decisions get harder. And again, I think we were at 990 a long time ago, and this is before the crime wave happened in, I guess, 22. So, I think it requires looking at everything. And again, if we're talking about the sheriff, I think we need to talk about not only the prisoners who need to be moved out because they belong at the state prisons as opposed to the jail, but also is what Governor Landry said over the weekend needing review. Are there cases that have been languishing for too long? Are there things that need to be moving faster? And I think those are fair questions, too, about whether or not those folks, you know, need to go to trial and then they cycle through and they belong either out of jail or in prison, depending on what their sentence is.
You've probably heard me talk about throughput into the court system, and it's all about that throughput. And without that, you exacerbate every challenge that you have in that jail. Everyone. You push it to the max every day, 24/7, if you don't have throughput through that system and handling these cases and getting them resolved and moving them out. And, you know, we used to on the state's back every day trying to get them to take our people that we had the paperwork, the commitment papers, everything ready to move to DOC because we need a capacity. You know, there are other people I wanted to hold. It's not fun when you are releasing an armed robber, right? And that's the best option that you have. And it's like, this is crazy. You know, I've got this person sentenced, ready to go. We need to get them out. We need to get them over there. If I got to bring them, I'll bring them. I don't care. But I don't want to leak. I don't want to let this armed robber out of the door. Right. But unfortunately, these are the unpleasant truths of what's going on in these systems across the country. This is not unique to the city of New Orleans.
It is not. And it managing different systems because you have the DA, you have judges, you have the jailer, you have NOPD. And so when you have, and I've said this so many times, when you have different agencies and certainly elected officials touching something, it's just easier for the finger pointing to happen or for people to blame somebody else. And the harder thing to do is to get all on the same page and say, look, these are the priorities that we're going to make. This is the way that we're going to handle things. And look, also, and this is the other side of it too, Noel, if something goes the wrong way because of a policy decision that was made, then also making sure everybody's standing shoulder to shoulder, say, we did this with eyes wide open. This is our rationale. This is what happened. And, sometimes that happens as well. So it's all of those things that have to happen. And again, this break is much more than just the 10 people who got out and the 5 who remain, which is the immediate focus. But I think the longer term one, particularly with elections coming up, is what's going to be done to improve the throughput, the communication, and having a good established policy about, you know, how many people are in the jail and how all of that's handled.
Yeah. Joe, a lot of independent investigations going on. How do you herd all of this together for the purposes of the council? Is there an intention to have them make presentations to the Criminal Justice Committee or the council at large in its totality?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I was kicking myself a little bit because of the meeting on Tuesday, not calling the sheriff in advance, because there are probably things – there are obvious things that they know right now that they're not sharing publicly. I know that the AG is conducting the investigation. The federal monitors happen to be in town. I would think the things that would be the most helpful to me are, how do you line up the federal monitors have to say with the investigation, with the AG, and then what are the things that we learn from the sheriff? Like, for example, yesterday, the sheriff said for the first time that the protocols for monitoring were broken. Well, okay, we all know that, right? Like something happened at 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning and that nobody's notified till 8:30 is a problem. But my view is probably by having three or four different data sets and then kind of overlaying all of those is where you get the best information. And I think a lot of that will also happen with the federal judge Newell, because they had the status conference on Monday. They're going to have another conference in another few weeks. And I kind of feel like having that third party arbiter looking at everything will help us the whole deal, rather than politicizing this between New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and everything else too. So that's kind of my goal, is to see how all those things line up and then see what the federal courts have to say as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know this will five out. I mean, five backs, five still out. You know, we need to thank the first responders, the law enforcement community, all of the agencies participating in this. I think there's north of 200 officers that are out there looking for the remaining five, and we wish them the best of luck. And I know you feel the same way.
Absolutely. And we said it yesterday, but I don't think it can be repeated enough, that we know the first responders are doing their level best and are in really good, tight quarters right now, coordinating and helping each other work through this. And that I don't think the city will rest till the remaining five prisoners are captured.
No doubt. Thank you so much for joining us, Joe. We know that you are incredibly busy. We appreciate your time, your insight. Best of luck.
Thanks, Neil. Take care.
That's Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. We will be right back, and when we return, we'll visit with Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. We'll talk about the Russia-Ukraine ceasefire. It was on, but maybe not. We shall see. We'll be right back.